Are you someone who watches every true crime documentary the day that it releases and then find yourself always wanting to know more, Googling the timelines, red flags, and then falling into the social media rabbit hole? Well, I'm here to do all of that for you, bringing the facts, theories, and details that no one else is covering on my hit true crime podcast, Serialistly with Annie Elise. Whether it's everything with the Idaho 4 case now that the documents are unsealed, or shocking cases you've never heard of, packed with love triangles, cults, and twists you won't see coming. With over 1 million downloads a week, I break it down for you just like your best friend would. Serialistly with Annie Elise. New episodes drop every Monday and Thursday wherever you get your podcasts.
KFNC. Mont Belvieu, Houston. ESPN. 97.5. A Gao Media Station. Is The Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Well, it's only Lance Zierlein today, but you will hear John Granato. You will hear John Granato today, thanks to the magic of recorded history. What we are doing today is, we've got a show. We got a show. I mean, it's me. It's Jose. What's up, Jose?
What up, Lance? Good morning.
I've noticed that the other side of this glass is a lot less hateful now that Dell's gone and you're here.
You feel safer? You
feel more positive? I feel safer. I feel more That's it. I feel like it's a more positive vibe. I mean, if I'm being honest, I feel like there's just a more positive energy on the show right now.
I tend to entice that in people.
Yeah, and you know, and when I first met you, what did you tell me who you were when you introduced yourself?
Verbatim, I was like, "Hi, my name's Jose. I'll be your producer when Dell gets fired."
Yeah,
and you're like, "What?" I was like, "Yeah,
yeah."
And you're like, "No way."
I just didn't know you were going to be that truth. Like, I didn't know that you just kept it that 100 all the time, Jose. That, I didn't know at the time that's what that was.
I gotta speak it into existence.
Yeah, that's the thing. If you keep it right there and you speak it in, it's going to happen. So Dell's on vacation. I don't want anyone to think he's been fired yet. So he's just still on vacation right now.
Okay? I don't know. Everyone's in a better mood. Maybe it's because it's Christmas time. Maybe it's because Dell's not here. I don't know.
I can't figure it out. It is the same thing, though.
Pretty much.
And yesterday it wasn't Christmas, and it felt really positive all over the building.
Like, you don't think it's because everyone's looking forward to the new year?
It could have just been Trey the Juggalo.
Could have been
talking to everyone for hours and hours and hours. How do y'all do that?
I don't know.
How do the interns do it? The new intern is here too. He's gonna get just crushed. Like, I don't even think he knows.
Yeah.
I didn't really know until yesterday. I'm in my office trying to work, and Trey is hitting people with one of our interns on everything. He will talk so much about nonstop questions. It's like just stream of consciousness the whole time. It's unbelievable how he can, like, I should put him on the show. If we ever have any issues with programming, if people are sick, or just turn a microphone on and just let him, and put one intern in a chair and Trey in this chair, turn both mics on and just let him ask questions and talk for 4 hours, 5, 6 hours. I don't care. I heard it for 6 hours.
Yeah, he doesn't stop. And full disclosure, me and him are supposed to be starting our own podcast, but we just haven't.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just don't know if he'll have the initiative. I feel like I'm expecting him to, like, come with topics, but realistically, that's not the person he is. All I have to do is really turn a mic on for him and let him talk.
So I came from another radio station where we had, like, no interns. None, because they don't want to get in trouble for not paying. Somebody had sued the company one time, an intern, because the intern said they were doing too much work and not getting paid, or I don't know, something like that. And so they said, well, we're not doing any interns. But I think that it's good to have interns. A, they can do things for you, and B, you know, you never know. You get good personality here, somebody really sharp here, somebody, you know, kind of like Trey, who brings his own thing to the show. And now, we haven't had him on our show in the morning, at least not since I've been here, but I guess Fred and AJ have him on. But what we're going to do today, so I've got Peter Burns coming on at the bottom of the hour. And we're going to talk about a few different things, including the college football playoffs, which are right around the corner. I'm going to be off I guess I will be back, though, by the time the college football playoffs are rolling, or maybe the championship game. We're off New Year's Day. I'm off this Friday. I've got a couple of two or three sounds or bits from that John and I have had in the past, our previous incarnation at 1560 when I was here. So one of them will spotlight my dislike for Drake McClain, because it got to the point where I was just so salty with him, because I could see he had ruined the whole organization. And the happiest day of my life, there's three. There's, all right, five, six.
How many kids?
Every
you
kid
have?
Yeah, was okay. Born. But you know what? I'm even going to put maybe like only a couple of them ahead of when Drayton sold the team. Because when Drayton sold the team, I was really happy. And boom, what do you know? Jim Crane and a World Series. Oh, look at this. So while Drayton was running the team into the ground, that ran me into a really bad mood. So we will we'll have that in the second hour. This hour, later on, we're going to get to Craig Biggio and rescuing Craig Biggio. But coming up here at about 7:15, John and I were doing a show, and somehow it just turned into us just basically channeling a Chicago radio station. You know, John's from Chicago.
Yeah.
So it turned into us just randomly and just organically channeling what a Chicago radio station would sound like. So we'll do that here in just a little bit. When Craig Biggio was playing center field and we tried to rescue him Black Hawk Down style, that is going to be on the show. Me going off on Drake McClain because all he did was make me mad. Over until he sold the team, I just started to get mad at him all the time. Peter Burns is going to join us at about 7:30. Bill Williamson, who wrote an article about why the Texans would be fools to let Bill O'Brien go, he is going to join us at 8:30. Now, along the way, here's my phone number, 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776. If I can get you guys to do this, I'm thinking about pulling an info line from 8 to 8:12. I'm thinking about a full segment of info line if we can get the calls in. You know, I never know, because after Christmas, it's a little slow on listenership because there are people taking vacation days and all that stuff. So I get that. But if you guys can fill it up, if we can get a whole board, I may do. Have you ever heard an info line?
Of course. I heard when you guys did it the other day because of what is our Stu? Because of Stu, our buddy Stu, right?
Yeah, Stu. Stu ended up, because Stu was mad at us for not giving scores or not telling them what the Giants did. Because you know we're Stu's personal radio show / radio station where we've got to give him his updates on the Giants and whatnot. So we didn't have his particular show program that he likes, which are Giant updates. Stu, Giants lost again. I know that's a couple days late, but Giants lost. Eli was terrible. The offense was terrible. Giants lost again. So all the same stuff that happens every week, Stu, since you need your update on Giants football and Eli Manning, they all lost. Ezekiel Elliott came back, which you also seem to be very concerned about. The return of Ezekiel Elliott, they also lost, and they're eliminated. Oh, Stu, you're eliminated from the playoffs, your Giants, and you have been for about 10 weeks now. There.
And if he needs any more score updates, info line at 8:12. So.
Yeah. Yeah, 8 o'clock, top of the hour.
Oh,
yeah.
Perfect.
We're going to do info line top of the hour. So that'll give people who are streaming, you'll know to have your info line calls ready. People who are listening on the app, you can always search ESPN Houston on in your app store, and you can listen that way. Yesterday, a bowl game took place, and I'm going to bring this up because this guy's starting to annoy me. A bowl game took place between Kansas State and UCLA. And was it Kansas State? I didn't even watch it. It was UCLA. Josh Rosen was out. You know, you guys know that I have to do or that I get to do NFL draft work. And Josh Rosen is one of the quarterbacks who I will be writing up because he's going to come out. Despite the fact he's like, I haven't made any decisions. Okay. Everybody I've talked to, every scout knows you're coming out. You're coming out, so stop fronting. And then yesterday he was in concussion protocol, so he didn't play yesterday. But, and I think that's his last, that was going to be his last game opportunity. He put the shirt on, but he didn't have pads on. He didn't play. UCLA lost 35-17 to Kansas State because nobody gets ready for bowl games like Kansas State. Snyder just has everyone ready to roll when it comes to bowl season. We saw it happen to Texas A&M last year. Kansas State gets ready to play. Anyway, Josh Rosen, you know, he's very talented quarterback, and this is a year, right? The Cleveland Browns have the first pick. They need quarterback. They passed on Carson Wentz. They passed on Deshaun Watson. They've had their other passed on Pat Mahomes. Anybody you want to say. I mean, they've had the top picks, whatever the case may be. And they keep passing on quarterbacks. They drafted Deshaun Kizer. He's got 19 interceptions now. That's not good. He actually may have gotten a 20 the other day. So they're going to look for quarterback, presumably. And Josh Rosen may be one of those guys. Here's what I'm not really feeling on Josh Rosen or any quarterback who comes out in the draft. According to Josh Rosen, he said it's not about getting drafted, he was asked about getting drafted by certain teams. He said, I'd rather be a lower pick at the right team than a higher pick on the wrong team. And he went on to say that finding the right fit for him is the most important thing. Not going the earliest. He just wants to find the right fit. In other words, he only wants good teams to draft him. He doesn't want to play for Cleveland. He wants to play for New York. And this is his way of getting it out there to try and intimidate Cleveland. Can someone please tell me this? When you are going to make millions and millions, and much of that contract is going to be guaranteed, and let's face it, I mean, you are going to be set, and Josh comes from a well-to-do family anyway. How in the world are you? Look, no one wants to play for Cleveland. Nobody wants to play. Who wants to play for Cleveland? What quarterback wants to go to Cleveland? Cleveland has had a disastrous run since they came back into existence. This is getting close to 20 years of terrible. Of course nobody wants to play for Cleveland at quarterback. But here's the thing. They have a new GM. They have a ton of early picks.
Thanks, Houston Texans.
And they have some good young talent on the roster that they're building. But to say, I just want to play in New York. I don't want to play in Cleveland. My pee-pee hands. That's no good. I'm not okay with this. I'm not okay with Josh Rosen getting it out there. This is not going to have any impact on how I evaluate him. When it comes time to evaluate him, I'm going to evaluate what I see on tape, and I'm going to put it out there. But this plays into that diva mentality that he supposedly has. There's the last thing you need at the quarterback position. Deshaun Watson, the farthest thing you can find from a diva. When you get quarterbacks who are high maintenance, that becomes a real problem. We already know wide receivers, a lot of them are going to be high maintenance. Defensive backs are usually high maintenance. Sometimes running backs, sometimes linebackers, rarely the defensive linemen or offensive linemen. Those aren't really the high maintenance guys a lot of times. But if you get a high maintenance quarterback as a rookie, you can forget it. You can forget it because he's going to clash with coaches. If you don't humble yourself early on in the process, that's a problem. And this is just something to piss me off last night. It's just something to piss me off. I know Adam Schefter had it. He had that information previously this weekend that Josh Rosen wants to find the right fit. Let me tell you how that works. That is whoever his agent is going to be is already getting that to Adam Schefter to get out there so that the Cleveland Browns hear that and that they know, or that somebody wants to move up, they can try to trade with the Cleveland Browns, whatever the case may be. I just know that Josh Rosen from UCLA has a history of concerns about being coached, and if you that's coming from coaches who've been on the staff. So, you know, if anyone wants to check me on that, that's actually coming from coaches who have, you know, been on that staff saying, yeah, not really a great guy to coach, not really very well liked by his teammates. That came from coaches. So you're not going to be able to check me on that one, but that just annoys me when a young player who hasn't even drafted starts trying to pick and choose where he's going to go in the draft. Kind of gets on my nerves. All right, that's me just complaining right there. Very dangerous weather today. It's in the low 40s. And if it drops another 10 to 15 degrees, there could be ice on the road. We're not expecting it to drop. But you must be Todd McGillicuddy here. Local News 5. Weather expected to... A winter blast has descended upon Houston with light rain and drizzle hitting the Houston roadways. If weather drops another 10 to 12 degrees... there could be mass icing across the roads in Houston, leading to catastrophic collisions, death, and destruction. Please be careful in Houston and keep it here on Local 5 for all your local news and sports weather updates. Local 5, I'm Todd McGillicuddy. You know how they always try to scare you, Jose? They always want you to be. Black ice has descended upon Houston. Well,
If it drops about 15 to 20 degrees, there will be black ice. Please be careful. You could die. Keep it on Local 5 to find out if you'll die with me, Todd McGillicuddy.
All right, that's it. 7:13 here on The Bench. With a catchy chorus and beat so they can sing along. And it comes all the way in here, Jose. Watch, you'll like this. Where it intros. See, that's nice, right?
Yeah,
it's clean.
In the rotation.
You're good. It's clean. Let's keep this in the rotation, but on no one else's show. Only when Dell either dies, God forbid, pour some out for Dell, is fired, or goes on vacation.
Okay, cool.
We'll just do this. Because Dell has his angsty, you know, his angsty emo music that he has to play sometimes. So when the boys are here, we'll just do this. So I told you we'll have some best of stuff from John and I. Obviously, there's not as much. We got Stu stuff. But, I mean, we've only been together for about a month now. Have I been back with John Granato? So, but we did shows for 14 years. And one of the shows, a lot of times, pretty much all the time, we never planned bits or anything like that. Things just happened. That's all, things would just happen, and we just roll from there. And one of the things that happened, and you'll hear here how it kind of starts up, is we just mentioned something about a DePaul basketball school. I don't even know why. Like, who's talked about college basketball in the city of Houston for decades? Nobody. Every once in a while, March Madness you do, clearly, but not very often. And that just got us started on the Chicago radio trip. John, of course, is from Chicago, and I just like to do the Chicago voice. So here is something from the past with John and I doing a show on 1560, and all of a sudden, it just became Chicago radio.
West Virginia beat DePaul. Everybody beats DePaul. Kansas State over Baylor. And one other upset, it was Boston College down in Clemson. I don't know
DePaul,
how much of an upset since
DePaul
it was at Boston.
How long has it been since DePaul?
I mean, that program has just disintegrated.
They have not been a factor for
at all.
Years. And they're in Chicago. I mean, they're one of the hubs for high
school
basketball.
How can you not get players to go to DePaul? That is just unbelievable.
It's in the city of Chicago. Of course, I'm sure people from DePaul are having sports talk in Chicago there. Yeah, you know, the program that really astonishes me is the Houston Cougars. How do you not get people in Houston, all the basketball players coming out of there, Okafor, and you look at some of the John Lucas kids and some of the kids coming out of there, and Phi Slamma Jamma and the history of that program. How do you not get kids to stay in the city of Houston? They're probably having the same conversation.
Oh, yeah.
Have you seen this program lately? Last time I ever heard of him, some guy named Aubrey Coleman was kicking Chase Budinger in the head. It's Budinger. I don't care what it is. They don't get any players. They recruit everyone from New York. Get your own kids. I agreed, Chicago.
What
guy.
About UCLA? How are they not getting anybody over there?
Yeah, all these kids from
it's from L.A., for crying out
from
loud.
From Cali. I'm going back to Cali. Is that right, Bompo? That's Bompo's our producer in there.
Honk,
how
honk.
In the world do you have your going back to Cali? Remember that LL Cool J? He's on NCIS. The guy is ripped. I mean, it's like he doesn't take a day off from the gym.
Throw me some sausage over there. I want to talk a little bit about DePaul right
it's
now.
It's your morning sausage fest.
What?
We're going to talk nothing but men's basketball and shower scenes from movies.
I like that Wisconsin team,
yeah.
The way they're put together.
And another one equally was that scene in American History X from the showers, if we're
going
to go.
Wait, why are we going into shower
well,
now?
We're talking
I'm trying
Wisconsin,
to eat some sausage.
We're talking Wisconsin basketball.
Well,
you know, they take it to you pretty rough, too.
Yeah. Cheese. That's all they make is, well, they got some good brats up there.
Yeah,
I'll tell you that.
I don't know how the kids from University of Houston, that team
no,
was unbelievable.
They're terrible.
They had Clyde Drexler.
Whoa.
And they had the Olajuwon kid.
Yeah, but he spelled his name different, remember?
Yeah, it was Akeem.
Yeah.
And then he'd heard about all the, and then all the other stuff went down and he changed it to Hakeem.
Yeah.
Probably to sell more jerseys.
But that was when, remember when Valvano was running around the court?
Yeah, that was great.
Yeah.
Galvano running around looking for people to
hug. Oh, that Italian fella.
He's looking for people to hug, and no yeah. one's hugging
no
him.
No one wanted to hug
and
him.
And he's just saying, oh, what's going on yeah. here? You know, look yeah. at me. Hey.
Hey.
You know, like real Italian-like.
Yeah, I've been that way before. You know it,
and then Clyde and Akeem went and made, like, millions in the NBA. And last I checked, yeah. Your guy, what's his name, Cozell McQueen? I don't even yeah. know what happened to Cozell.
Derek Wittenberg.
Wittenberg, that fat little guy, became a college coach. Sidney Lowe, same thing.
All right, it is 6:23 right now here on Chicago's Greatest, and it's time for the Fighting Illini song.
How do you not keep kids in DePaul? How do you not keep any kids in DePaul? It doesn't make any
sense. Did you see the Illini get worked by Purdue the other day, though?
Yeah,
I'm so disgusted.
Senior Bowl's going on. Hopefully the Bears get some. Oh, wait, they traded away all their picks. One guy is dead, and the other guy plays like it.
Terrible.
Jay Cutler. This guy is named after a fork and a spoon.
Hey, I've had
you
some...
You trade away all your draft picks.
Hey.
Is it too early to make the other joke, Mompo?
Have you ever had some pork cutlers? They're delicious.
They're much better tasting than the quarterback, that's for sure.
Oh,
and you gave away like 10 first-round draft picks for Cutler. So hopefully the Bears are at the Senior Bowl prepared for their fourth and fifth-round draft picks.
We got to get back to what we do. Play defense and run the ball. Let's run the friggin' ball.
I thought Urlacher was overrated. Not no more, I don't.
I'll tell you. You know what I'd like to see? Lovey Smith. We got a coach named Lovey.
Yeah, that's the first problem.
Where's Ditka?
That's the first problem, a coach named Lovey. I'd rather have a coach named Haiti.
Right.
Maybe not so much these days.
That's crazy.
I want a coach named
Haiti. Falling apart.
Yeah, I should have thought about that before I said it. I want a coach named Haiti. But you get it, like hate.
Throw me another sausage. Haiti, like throw me another sausage over
there
here.
There you go.
Oh.
Yeah, I know what it is, Bompo.
What the hell? Like, we don't know what the Super Bowl shuffle
this
is.
This is the good old days.
It is.
A punky QB known as McMahon instead of
yeah.
Riggs.
We're Singletary. Maybe we could trade Lovey to San Francisco.
For Singletary. And give up two more first-round draft picks.
Hey, he ain't no Butkus, but he was good, remember?
I'll tell you this much, and this is the truth. I miss Kyle Orton right now.
Oh.
I even miss Rex Grossman. I miss Rex Grossman. I do. If I could get Cutler out of here, Grossman back, and Sid Benson, who you know I was always high on, the Bears would have no problems. Forte's a bum. Speedy Willie was good. I think he may have been gay, though.
Well, he ain't no...
Well, listen to him.
Well, wait a minute.
Watch this. Listen to this line.
Now, I'm as smooth as a chocolate swirl.
Well, that's half a gay. That's half a gay right there.
He goes, I dance a little funky, so watch me, girl.
Well...
I mean, who ends it in
well,
girl?
Well, who would you rather have, though? Him or Devin Hester?
This is the guy right there, Samurai Mike. Big and bold. I've been jamming. Look at Charlie wants to talk Dexter McCluster.
Who doesn't?
You want to get Charlie in here?
What the hell?
What do you say there,
Charlie?
Hey, Charlie,
what's
going on?
What do
you say there,
Charlie? Come on, speak up, Charlie.
Spit
out the sausage. Let's go.
Good, good. You want to talk about Dex?
Dexter McCluster was all along a wide receiver in the SEC. He didn't become a running back until this year, so... Interesting, I just see you guys talking about saying, well, surprised he was showing up as a wide receiver. That's what he was all along.
I didn't realize Dexter was such a full-time receiving threat.
Yeah.
The kid's unbelievable. He's fast.
He's a midge, but you know what? I'll take that midge on our team.
Charlie, that's good information there. You're with your Auburn ties.
Yeah.
I would expect nothing less.
What are you eating down there? Some okra or something when you're watching that SEC stuff? Hey, turn on some Big Ten football.
I like McCluster, though.
Kind of like when we play Northwestern.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You saw how that one went. Because we've done North Carolina radio.
Right.
We've done Chicago radio. And that was just spur of the moment. And we've also... Ladies and gentlemen! It is time for your Chicago Bulls!
You got to scream it. That dude's... Screams.
I know. I can't do it this
way. I can't either.
Starting at one guard! From Old Miami, Ohio University, Red Harper! Starting at forward! where it was?
Scotty Pippen! At center!
Who's going to go with?
Bill Cartwright.
Longley, Cartwright, okay. Yeah.
From some college, I don't even remember, it's been so long now. Bill Cartwright!
San Francisco? Is he San Francisco?
So, maybe.
Maybe. It was.
And power forward! Starting there from Clemson, Horace Grant! And a card from North Carolina, Michael Jordan! Get off the bench, Steve Kerr!
Your head coach, Phil Jackson.
And Phil Jackson, the head coach.
Why do they always do that? Why can't they say Phil Jackson?
And head coach Rick Adam with assistants, Jack Sigma and Elson Turner.
Why can't they ever give any love to the head coaches? And the head coach is Phil Jackson.
Real, this is a good set. This is a good quality radio so far for the first 30 minutes.
Yeah.
We've had some Senior Bowl talk. We talked about Lamar Houston being a guy you can't pass on because his name
and
is
Earl
Houston.
Earl Thomas.
We had all Chicago radio. And how DePaul, we're getting after DePaul for not having any local players to keep there.
There's DePaul right there.
And Tom Henderson's like, shh, keep it down.
Right.
Yeah. Focus it all on DePaul. DePaul. That's right. What the hell's DePaul doing?
As you can see, a little bit older stuff, but as John and I, random Chicago radio. It feels like Chicago weather today, only about 15 degrees warmer. Coming up next, Peter Burns. We're going to talk some college football playoffs because... Well, they're coming up, so we'll have some SEC talk with Jimbo Fisher going to Texas A&M, but also break down the college football playoffs as you've got Oklahoma versus Georgia and Clemson versus Alabama, and Peter Burns from SEC Network will be up next.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Hey, welcome back into the bench, guys. Lance Zierlein here with you, and joining me right now is an old friend of mine who works for the SEC Network, although he does come from the magical world of radio initially. Peter Burns was in San Antonio and then Denver, and I did his Denver radio show, and he's done the Houston show. And so, I don't know, Peter, we've talked about everything sports and everything non-sports, most of what we could get into. I once had you on the day... One Black Friday, the day after Thanksgiving. The Black Friday day is one of the most special days of the year because that's when World Star Hip Hop really gets right. It lit with fight videos.
That's whenever you gather grandma around and you just show her the greatness that is Black Friday ball fight. And really, if you can't get together as a family bonding over ball fights, what really is bonding worth with your family?
I mean, look, you've got A Christmas Story, which airs every year. That's one of those family things. I think you can do that. I think you can watch the Christmas Day quadruple or now quintuple headers. I feel like that's one. Probably 4th of July, maybe watching the fireworks is one. And then mall fights or Walmart fights from Black Friday. I think those are all things.
It's top five. I feel like, and now with technology being the way that it is, like we get more and more, higher quality ball fights and Black Friday fights. So that's good for it's a win all the way around, my friend.
I like the fact that we get high definition fight videos in Walmart between two moms looking for the same. I don't even know what the hot toys are. To be honest with you, I don't even know. Like they've got specialty stores. My daughter gets this American Girl thing. What a racket. When I am done in the world of sports, I'm definitely getting into some type of making dolls and doll clothes for kids because that thing's never going away. That'll make money forever.
No. And this was my daughter's first Christmas, and I got her absolutely zero things. Because I'm like, and me and Ticketos is what I call my wife, I'm like, what are we going to get her? There's nothing of any value that she's going to understand at this point. So Yeah, like this was easily the easiest I ever got off on a Christmas shopping, to say the least.
Did you get her the new FIFA?
No, I got her the new Call of Duty.
Yeah, exactly.
She really hates Nazis, and so she just will watch me just clean out Nazis on Call of Duty too.
Yeah, who likes Nazis? Nazis are, no one likes them. So yeah, and then
right.
You're kind of a placeholder for the game while she learns. I get that. That's all I am.
I'm trying to build up her status for her character, so that way, whenever she can take over in a couple of years, it's got good stats, got all the good guns. So yeah, it's the kind of parenting I am, Lance. That's where we are.
I'll be honest with you. I think highly of you for doing that. So that's just me. What do you think?
Before we actually get into sports, I know we're going to do this. I am a sucker now. Instead of the mall fights, I have transitioned a little bit as a dad now. I like seeing the videos of people getting sporting event tickets for Christmas. Like, I always think that's like, it's the Georgia fan who's been a lifelong suffering fan, and now the Bulldogs are playing in the semifinals. So like, I love watching this, like the grandfather getting the tickets from his son.
I haven't really
crying. Like, I love those things.
Is this I didn't realize that, because it seems like every week I find out about a new genre of videos. Yeah. Like the unboxing thing, when I found out, I still to this day I'm having a hard time with this, that kids will sit and watch people open presents or open things. Like, that's an entire genre of videos. Did you know about this, the unboxing?
I know it's like huge in Japan. Like there will be people that make like tens of thousands of dollars just unwrapping stuff. Like, I know there's Twitch for video games where you sit around watching people play video games. I did not know that there was how big of a market there was just to see people open stuff. I feel like I could do that as a job if this whole SEC network thing doesn't work out.
Yeah, it feels – I mean, I'm definitely open to opening stuff and unboxing. That's not a problem. I didn't know there was a whole genre of tickets to sporting events for fans / older people. I didn't even know this was a thing.
Like, I think it's great, but I also think it's to the point now. It's like, I want to see it maybe for an Oklahoma fan, a Georgia fan. But, like, if you're Clemson or Alabama, you're kind of like – do I really want a semifinal ticket? Like, can I hold off and maybe get a finals ticket? Because I think that's what's so interesting about the playoffs this year, right? Like, as I seamlessly and awkwardly transition to actual sports talk here, that, like, the Clemson-Alabama is the trilogy. We're all looking forward to it, but the fans are like, I don't know if I'm going to travel to that one because I'm kind of used to our teams playing in the championship, whereas Georgia and Oklahoma, they're like, it's like the great land rush, to get tickets for this event. It's in the Rose Bowl. Like, I'm more excited about the Georgia-Oklahoma game than I am actually the Alabama-Clemson game.
So, well, let's get into it. Let's look at those four. Georgia-Oklahoma, to me, it is either going to go sharply one way or sharply the other. Either Oklahoma, pounds them early, gets up, and Georgia just simply doesn't have enough juice to catch up. Or the other thing happens, and Baker Mayfield is not ready for the speed of an SEC defense, and the running game of Chubb and Michelle and the offensive line, frankly, just hammers Oklahoma, and they're just not on the same level as Georgia. Which one? How do you see that one playing out?
I'm fascinated by it because I keep leaning towards, man, I was on the field for the SEC championship game, and I've seen Alabama defense and it's fast. I saw Auburn's defense up close; they're fast. What Georgia, the way they reacted after getting punched in the mouth in the SEC championship game was nothing short of incredible. And I just, Baker was able to put up monster numbers against TCU. What, 7 touchdowns in the 2 games, averaged over 300 yards.
Mm-hmm.
And yet Georgia, I still think, is twice the defense that TCU has. So I'm really kind of curious to see what Jake Fromm's going to do, because I think the first 10 minutes of that game are huge, because – Fromm, if he completes a couple of outs, he completes a couple of passes, I think he settles down like he did in the SEC championship game, and they win that game handily. But I could also see if Oklahoma wins the toss, they sure as hell are going to take the ball first. They're going to try to go down there, punch it out 7-0, and make Georgia play from behind. So I think you'll know. That's one of those games that I would never put money on before the game, but I definitely, as in the first 2 minutes, I'd go ahead and start pounding the second half with a live bet on one way, because you're going to know within 10 minutes of that game who's going to win it.
I agree with you. I don't think that's going to be one of those back-and-forth really great games, and I hope it is. I hope it is from a fan standpoint. But I like Georgia in that one. I just think Georgia's physicality, their run game, the offensive line has been so much better. That's how I'm guessing that the talent level across the board for an SEC defense is going to far surpass what Baker Mayfield saw this year. But I say that, but he handed Ohio State their ass at Ohio State. And they, last time I checked, they got some NFL guys.
Yeah, I mean they're not terrible. And again, TCU was decent. I mean, we kept looking at TCU. Oh, the Big 12 doesn't play any defense except for TCU, and he absolutely crushed the Horned Frogs twice. You know, not once. They had like all the game film on him, and they're like they still couldn't do him. Right. You know, stop him down. So I'm looking for that one. I still think Georgia wins that game in a close one. The thing is, on the other side of it, I think Clemson's just got too much for Alabama. I have major concerns that I go back and look at the last probably five or six games that Jalen Hurts has played a good defense, Lance, and you study film more than I do. Jalen Hurts' passing has become a complete detriment to this squad, and I don't think that they're going to be able to run the ball against the Clemson defense, and I just think that Clemson ends up kind of strangleholding Alabama, playing kind of Alabama-style football.
You know, that's kind of what I'm thinking is – they're one of the few teams that can Alabama with Alabama. There's not a lot of teams who have been able to just line up and say, you know, in the past it had to be okay. You had to have Johnny, and then Deshaun Watson was a guy that could get outside of the pocket and do this. It's really to the point where I look at Alabama's defense and I just say, this is like I look at Clemson's defense and I say, this is basically like Alabama. Dexter Lawrence, Christian Wilkins, Clelin Farrell, it's really an Alabama defense in orange jerseys.
Well, and this is not the Alabama that we've known. Like, Bama has set such a high bar, for a standard for themselves that, like, this is not the last 2 years Alabama. This is a good Alabama team, right? But I would say this is an average Alabama team for Nick Saban, and that's amazing, right? Like an average Nick Saban squad.
This really is.
Is still in the college football playoff. They've just set such an unrealistic expectation for themselves because the excellence has been so good. But I don't think Dabo Swinney gets enough credit, because a lot of us thought, okay, this is going to be like Virginia Tech was with Michael Vick, where they were really good because they had a game changing quarterback, and then they'll fall off. And Dabo Swinney has shown that, you know, when they built those facilities, they built them at the exact same time that it correlated to a national championship. He's recruiting the ACC in Florida State being down. Like, he's taking advantage of everything. And, you know, him and Kirby are the new Sabans of college football.
Yeah, and, yeah, I got to tell you something now. Even though this is an average Alabama team, there's going to be 11 players drafted from this team at least. Depending on
right.
who comes
that's
out.
That's crazy, right?
So, like, yeah, you know. So it's still, you know, I don't want to sell him short, but I just haven't seen enough from Jalen Hurts to lead me to believe that he can rise to this level above and beyond where he's been playing. Frankly, Damian Harris has played better ball than last year, but Bo Scarborough's taken a little bit of a step back, and that's the guy that's kind of a wild card in this, is if Scarborough can turn into a battering ram against Clemson. I still don't think
that's late.
Yeah,
and that's what cost them last year. They didn't have Scarborough late, and Lane Kiffin was so afraid to do anything outside. And once Scarborough was out, I was surprised last year going back there they didn't run Jalen Hurts out of the pocket a lot more late into that game. I know they were protecting him throughout the regular season, but I expect that to be the case. And I the big difference is too, they don't have an X factor. The last 2 years, OJ Howard went for either 200 yards or 100 yards in the national championship game. They don't have that kind of, where the hell has this guy been all season long? I just don't feel, and maybe it is Bo, if he's 100% healthy and battering around late when they're tired, but we haven't really seen that from the Tide.
No, we really haven't. How about the X factor for Clemson is Hunter Renfrow. Renfrow, for two straight national championship games, has put big games together against Minka Fitzpatrick, who's one of the best defensive players in college football and has been since he was a freshman at Bama. He's a junior now. But Renfrow seems to save his biggest games for last on the biggest stages. And it's just a different quarterback throwing him the ball. But I think that Renfrow versus Minka Fitzpatrick matchup is a really interesting one, because this is a trilogy. Like, this is round three of their matchup, too.
this is Ward Gotti. I mean, they played him two times before, 76-75. That's the total points of, between those two teams. I mean, so I think that's why this year's playoff, this I don't feel, and that's why I didn't want Ohio State in there. I didn't feel like they, you know, you gave up 55 points to a 7-5 Iowa team, and you lost by 31. You sure as hell didn't deserve to play in the national championship. And I honestly believe that this is the first year in a while that I feel like both games are intriguing. I feel like over the last couple of years we've had like a Washington team that we didn't feel belonged, or Michigan State that we kind of thought, they're not quite there. Miami would have been that case had they beat Clemson. I thought they were a paper tiger all season long. So I still think, though, even though I'm the anchor of the SEC Network, Lance, there's a better chance that the SEC goes 0-2 than 2-0 in the playoffs.
Yeah, I think you're right on that one. With that said, I still have Clemson beating Georgia in the national championship.
That would be my guess. And so, naturally, what it'll be is Alabama versus Oklahoma, and Alabama will win it all.
Your thoughts on Jimbo to the SEC with Texas A&M?
I like it. I mean, listen, it's a pass-fail grade for A&M, right? You've got the athletes there in the state of Texas. You've got the facilities, Kyle Field. You've got the fan base. You needed just a coach to put you over the side. And listen, this was not like A&M like going over and starting to slash like public education or like firing 45 professors.
Right.
This was a bunch of good old boys in a deer blind texting each other like, hey, Frank, I got $8 million. You got $8 million? Yeah, okay. All right, well, Jimmy's duck hunting now. He's got another $15 million. Like, this was $75 million that came from the good old boy oil money at A&M. So, you know, would you have ever thought that Florida State would be fighting for bowl eligibility and their coach would get 10-year, $75 million extension, basically? That's what Jimbo Fisher got.
It's hard to believe. Yeah, it's hard to believe that that was the case. But that's, you know, Jimbo's got that reputation. And so A&M wanted to follow up someone with a name brand coach, and they're doing it. We'll see how it turns out. I know the other team in Texas,
they're starting 2-2 next year. They play Clemson and at Alabama in their first four games. So that's what I'm curious about. Like, for A&M fans that are listening right now, this is not about 2018 or 2019. This is about 2020. Like, they need to, and Jimbo's not going to say that, but they should. Any smart player and any smart media person is going to say this is about being good in the years 2020 on, not the next two seasons.
When I wonder how he's hurt by early signing day, because now it's early signing day, not just early commitments, but early signing. I know Tom Herman in Texas, they did a really good job with early signing period. I would have to think, I don't follow recruiting all that closely, but I would think it was a little tough for A&M because the coaching situation was, they were in such flux.
Yeah, they don't know who their defensive coordinator was going to be. I mean, pretty much them, Florida State, they all were in around like 25th to 30th. So, like, there were enough to get good players upon like kind of name recognition. But they weren't going to just, you know, grab these monster players.
Yeah.
And that's why Herman has a leg up. You know, and that's why listen, I'm leaving the state of Tennessee right now. That's why I probably got bad reception. I'm driving through the mountains with family. I had 15 Vol fans that are just sitting around the living room wanting me to try to talk them off the ledge of how bad this situation is for them right now.
Oh, no, it's bad. Don't worry. We can't talk you off the ledge. It's not good. Hey, I gotta ask before I let you go. I gotta see if you have the same interest level in this one. Wisconsin versus Miami feels like Hoosiers or something. You know, it feels like here you got this. Like, here's the team that dunks and the team that the athletic team from the 1950s, and here's the white guys and the black chucks. I mean, it feels Wisconsin Miami with the turnover chain, which by the way is just fantastic. But that matchup now, with Swag U taking on Wisconsin, has got a 1940s boxing or even, you know, Hoosiers type of feel to it.
I'm fine with that. But the thing is that I liked about the whole Miami and the Swag factor is I think what we're getting past is the fact that the turnover chain is the most brilliant part of marketing I've ever seen. Everybody got caught up on it, but you realize the jeweler behind it is a guy that's disassociated from North Carolina football, right? Like, he's not even allowed to step close to campus because I think they were players and stuff like that.
Right.
So what he did was, instead of saying, hey, you know what, I'm going to get all these guys jewelry,
I'm going to create this incredible jewelry thing, this turnover chain, and that way the guys wear it. It gets a bunch of press, and all of a sudden when those guys do go to the next level, they're going to come to me for their jewelry. This is actually the most brilliant marketing at all of college football that I've seen.
It's pretty good. It is pretty good marketing. It certainly worked. I had so many other things I wanted to get to, but we're out of time, and you got to get – mountain driving is no joke. If you never mountain drive, it is like – especially when you start going around those twists and turns. Oh, my God. And do it with a crying baby, which hopefully you don't have to fade. But I had to one time when we were in the Smoky Mountains. Oh, my gosh. It is intense because you can't go – if something says it's 4 miles away – In real life, 4 miles does, oh, well, then
it's,
4 minutes.
25 minutes.
Oh, 25 minutes easy when it's mountain driving. So, you know, yeah, so you're going through it right now. Hey, listen, man, I will let you go. I appreciate you jumping in and enjoy your the rest of your football season.
All right, buddy. Happy New Year.
Okay, happy New Year to you.
My man, Peter Burns. Hey, let me tell you about my other man, Craig DeSurf. That's my man's right there. Craig DeSurf has been keeping me in some of the best cars out there and for years. And one of the reasons that I speak for Craig is because I don't really care which dealership he goes to. I'll be more than happy to speak to that dealership. And the great thing is at Gulf Coast, Buick, GMC, Chevy, there's tremendous selection. You heard what I just said. Buick, which is king of the crossover vehicles, and cars. If you look for cars, they got amazing cars, and sedans, etc. GMC, on the GMC side, the Yukon Extended Body, which I've been driving for the last 5 years until just recently, the GMC Acadia on the crossover side, the GMC Sierra pickup truck, they've got the Denali versions. And then on the Chevy side, how about these vehicles? The Chevy Silverado, the Chevy Suburban. So I really don't care what it is that you want. The selection is astonishing. The colors, the amenities, they've got them all at Gulf Coast, Buick, GMC, Chevrolet. I always rearrange the names because you just need to know the three big names. But the big name you really need to remember is Craig DeSurf, because when Craig runs a location, he's going to make sure that you get the best prices right up front. He's not going to make you dance around and do that kind of stuff. Craig just says, look, if you're coming out to Angleton to get a car, we want to get you a car, a truck, a crossover vehicle, or an SUV, and we don't want to waste your time. It's about 40 minutes away from my house. That's about the distance at in Angleton. That's about the distance from here to Kingwood. Would I go to Kingwood, drive there to save $2,000, $3,000, $4,000 on a vehicle? Absolutely, I would. You should do the same thing. In Angleton, you are going to save thousands on your vehicles thanks to Craig DeSurf and Gulf Coast. Go to the website at gulfcoast.net. That's gulfcoast.net. And make sure you tell Craig DeSurf and that sales staff that you listen to The Bench and Lance Erline right here on 97.5.
Are you someone who watches every true crime documentary the day that it releases and then find yourself always wanting to know more, Googling the timelines, red flags, and then falling into the social media rabbit hole? Well, I'm here to do all of that for you, bringing the facts, theories, and details that no one else is covering on my hit true crime podcast, Serialistly with Annie Elise. Whether it's everything with the Idaho 4 case now that the documents are unsealed, or shocking cases you've never heard of, packed with love triangles, cults, and twists you won't see coming. With over 1 million downloads a week, I break it down for you just like your best friend would. Serialistly with Annie Elise. New episodes drop every Monday and Thursday wherever you get your podcasts.